This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
We won't back down, says the Fight for 15 and a union. Strike nationwide.
I have to live in a shelter because I'm not able to afford rent.
A fast food worker getting $20 an hour in Denmark, and we getting $8 over here. Something is wrong in this country. Something is wrong.
When are we going to get 15? I'm going to get it now.
$15.
What do we want it now?
See, I'm a hard worker, and this fast food money can't support me. I'm taking over. Give me my money. Who this union coming? You think it's funny? I don't. Ambition always running. Customers know I work because these owners frontin'. 15 the more we work. If you don't give me, I'm done. No more making all that money for you. Why you up in the coop? I'm thinking more money. How it goes on at you? On my way, I know I'm late, but I'm never rude. No call out, so back mouth got manners, boo. They take advantage till they lose. What was their advance? Around they prance with their benefits, thinking they winning this. Tech stack, and they ain't doing nothing.
It's all about 15 and a union.
Are you worried about your rights?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I believe that we can win.
To win, nice music, 15 and a union. Fast move forward is the movement we pursue.
15 and a union, for sure. As newly elected politicians and newly empowered corporate special interests threaten an extreme agenda, working Americans announced that their four-year-old fight for 15 and a union, they won't back down, and that any efforts to block wage increases, gut workers' rights or health care, deport immigrants, or support racism or racist policies will be met with unrelenting opposition.
To show their determination, workers in the Fight for 15 waged the most disruptive protest yet, expanding their movement to nearly 20 airports serving 2 million passengers a day, and risking arrest via mass civil disobedience in front of McDonald's restaurants from Detroit to Denver. Workers spanning the economy, including baggage handlers, fast food cooks, home care workers, child care teachers, and graduate assistants, demand $15 and union rights, no deportations, an end to police killings of black people, and politicians keep their hands off Americans' health care coverage.
Joining us now are Isaias Safon, a McDonald's worker from Houston, Texas, and Rob Hill, Vice President and Organizing Director of Local 32BJ of SEIU.
Thank you very much.
Well, I want to start with Rob, if I may. Just give us a sense, some of the areas, the various worker occupations for this nationwide strike.
Well, this is the fourth anniversary of the heroic McDonald's workers in New York, demanded 15 in the union. Everybody said that they were crazy when they went on strike. People said it would never happen. And 4 years later, 22 million Americans have received a raise that's larger than the entire labor movement. 10 million people in America are on the road to 15, including fast food workers in New York, airport workers in New York and in California. So we've formed a movement. It's gotten bigger every time. This is going to prove to be the biggest rally and day of action yet in the Fight for 15. It's from fast food restaurants to airports. There'll be huge marches and airport strikes at airports, strikes at fast food restaurants, civil disobedience all around the country, biggest yet. And it's going to make the statement, not only are we not going backwards, we're going forward to this whole country, makes $16, and that everybody has a right to a union.
And Isaias, why don't we begin with yourself? Tell us a little bit about your work at McDonald's, how long you've been there, and what got you involved in the struggle for 15 and a union.
I'm a part of the National Organizing Committee of the 5 for 15. But first, when I came in to be, I don't believe in $15 because nobody was believing when the first 200 workers in New York came in to ask $15 an hour. And then one of friend of mine tell me, and I say, you know what? We're fighting for $15 an hour. I say, what? I say, $15 an hour? That's too much. Nobody believes $15 an hour. I don't think. But after that, I realized I came to America in 1990, and I was making $3.35 an hour. And I realized all the years I've been working for fast food was 10 years, you know, and I said, yeah, you're right. We need to make some more money. And we deserve to make the money because we're the ones, we generate millions of dollars for these companies. And it's not fair they're not paying us enough to put our food and for our families to get a better future for our kids. That's what I realized and I started enjoying the campaign 5 for 15.
And Rob, the movement's really expanded both geographically and in terms of the different kinds of workers. It started with fast food workers, and you're organizing airport workers.
That's
before
right.
We talk about the action, tell us why airport workers and who are these airport workers?
So airport workers are the people who work at the airport in baggage and security, cleaning the planes, the wheelchair workers, basically all the customer service, everybody you confront when you go to the airport. And you don't realize you're walking through a modern-day plantation or sweatshop. And these used to be good middle-class jobs, and then the airlines decided to contract them out to contractors and basically do it at the lowest bid. And so basically they forced contractors to compete with each other for who could pay the least and to provide the service. And that's the state of the airports today. And that's why airport workers started organizing. The fact of the matter is, pay-wise, an airport worker is making just as little as a fast-food worker's. Same reason adjunct professors join the movement is they're making just as little as fast food workers. Home care workers are making just as little. That's the state of the country's become that everybody's being paid the least. And airport workers, just like fast food workers, said they had enough. They started organizing also about 4 years ago. In fact, we were, I think, on your show when that launched. Since then, in New York and New Jersey, over 7,000 airport workers out of 14,000 who were trying to organize won the union. The airport workers are on a path to 15 because of joining together with fast food workers in New York and are also fighting for more, for benefits and for higher pay. And we're going to go bring thousands of people to Newark Airport because in Newark, the same workers as part of the Port Authority who do the same job for the same company are still making 10 an hour because they don't happen to be in the state of New York or New Jersey. So we're going to be making a case for 15 in the union. In New Jersey. But airport workers are joining for the same reason because these used to be good jobs. They're now poverty jobs. And only by organizing and fighting that they've been able to start to turn that around.
Isaias, what's it been like to live? You said initially when you came here around 1990, you were talking about $3 roughly an hour. Now he's fighting for 15 an hour. What has it been like to be a hard working individual for your family to exist on the kind of wage that you have these years since you have immigrated to this country?
Yeah, so at first, like I say, I don't believe in $15, but when I started understanding, I started realizing $3.30, $3.35, 1990, after 26 now, making $7.25, I don't think it's right. You know, the cost of living is 1% every year. If you add those to these years, we're supposed to make more than $15 an hour, you know. But we're not getting even of cost of living every year. We don't get raises. If you got raises, you got 10 cents, 5 cents. I don't think it's fair because they're making all millions of dollars, and we are $64 million on the pay, so I don't think it's fair. But because of 5 for 15, already 10 million people already got benefits of this 5 for 15. That's why my energy is going, because we fight, we're winning now, because a lot of people get raises, get promotions, get benefits. Some workers get sick days. But we're not going to stop to getting $15 in a union. We're not going to stop them. We get so far already, we're not going to get back.
And what's it like to organize the other workers like yourself in places like McDonald's? How do you overcome the fear and get people to do more than sit back and really kind of watch their own oppression. How do you do that? How have you been successful in bringing people to the struggle?
Okay, first, we realized in the first years, I started talking to our co-workers, they was scared, you know, they was saying it's impossible, it's to making $15 an hour, it's not fair, but, you know, now they start believing in fighting for $15 an hour. They start getting together and fighting for $15, but a lot of people, they was scared, and they have a lot of, they're still scared, but we still saying it's not way too scared. We need to step up and tell these companies they need to pay us $15 in the union.
And Rob, the airports are one of the areas where the 15 in a union campaign has been translated into unions. Can you tell us, over the 20 cities that there are demonstrations, how many workers are involved, what they're doing, but also how many unions have been formed?
We're going to be involved at 20 airports. People are doing different things, from rallies to all the way to strikes. In Chicago, a large strike, people sought to get it enjoined, but they did not. In Boston strike, and in other places like Newark, massive demonstrations and sit-ins and everything in between. And we've been successful getting the union through. Part of what has happened here is that as workers started to organize, both in fast food and airports, they started to win. And when people start seeing that you actually can win, people get encouraged to do more, you know, in part by demonstrating, by using political pressure, but also by airport workers being willing to walk off the job, to go on strike. We've been able to win the union. In New York, it's been 7,000 people, about half the airport now, as one union recognition. They're bargaining the contract. We want to see the whole airport organized. In Boston, about half the airport has won the union. Almost 500 workers won recognition this year to the union in Miami, a right-to-work state. Airport workers are in the middle of the fight in Chicago. Seattle, they've been successful. L.A. is organized. As airport workers come together, they've been able to win. It's a hard fight. Probably going to get harder in the new administration, but the sense that people have been able to succeed and move forward and actually win in this campaign inspires people to go forward. And the fact of the matter is their families' ability to eat and put food on the table depends on them winning.
We are speaking with Isaiah Savon, a McDonald's worker from Houston, Texas, and Rob Hill, Vice President and Organizing Director of Local 32BJ of SEIU. And Rob, I wanted to just ask where this comes into play. You're talking about the wages and the union, but a lot of the workers are immigrants who certainly face, under the Trumpian administration looming large, tremendous problems, possible deportations, etc. We've seen the enormity of the increase in recognition, certainly of the increase of police killings of people of African descent. How do these issues come into play in organizing? Are they slogans, or is there a more holistic kind of way of looking at the workforce and mobilizing them around a multiplicity of issues?
I think the workers, some of you agree, see all these issues as their issue, right? These workers at the airport, some of them are undocumented, and at the McDonald's and other jobs, afraid of deportation, just as much as they are need to make money to put food in the family. Many of the workers at Newark Airport are African-American and are worried about police brutality and police shootings, and you know, these things aren't separated. It's sort of one agenda that we're fighting against, which in the agenda we're fighting for is that if we all unite together, allow people to make a decent living, work jobs so they can feed their families, have a union, we can build a better country. To say to people who are afraid, we're worried about the future, worried about what's going to happen in the next administration, is that we're not going to be quiet. We're not going to go hide. We're going to get right out in the street, have people's back, stand together, join together, unite all these movements, and say the one and the same. You can't deporting people, fight for 15. Are all part of the same fight that we're going to stand against the Trump agenda, pitting people against each other, and we're going to have each other's back, and we're going to be out there in the streets fighting every step of the way.
Not only that, we're fighting, you know, for economic justice. We're fighting for immigration reform, and we're fighting for racism justice. So yep. all these these issues coming together, and I hope everybody they deserve respect. No matter if they're immigrants and they don't have papers, they had to have dignity life to live.
Isaias, in addition to fast food workers in Houston where you are, what other workers are involved in the movement?
Yeah, right now it's we got all it's not only fast food now, everybody started fighting for $15. Janitors, child cares, home cares, professors, constructions, everybody they start believing in $15 and they start fighting for $15 because they see to the struggle they're going, they're not able to put food in the tables, they're not able to pay the rent. They have to choose even to pay the rent or take the kid to the doctors. So everybody, they struggle. What we want to do with the 5 for 15 is to make the middle class, to get people, you know, not living with the stamps or with government help. We want people work and working only one job. But all kind of industries, they come and fight for $15 now.
Well, I understand also, which is fascinating, that, Ron, now Uber drivers are have joined on to this national day of striking across the country. Talk about that.
You're right. And they're being exploited, too, and feel the need to fight back. I know in New York, the caravan of Uber drivers supporting the protests down by Zuccotti Park, where fast food workers and airport workers and others get arrested doing CD. And my understanding is all around the country, Uber drivers are joining the fight as well.
You know, I'm still waiting for the day when the bosses get arrested instead of the workers, but I commend the effort towards national civil disobedience to get the point across and actually, of course, 15 in the union to make it finally a living wage. But we're on the way.
Looking to the future, Rob, the climate that Trump will bring in after the inauguration, how does that affect organizing? That's a long question, but try to make it short answer, and we'll have you on again to flesh it out.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is going to make things much, much tougher. I think we all know that, but we've got too much to lose to go backwards. You know, again, 22 million people have gotten a raise. 10 million people are on their way to 15. We have a huge movement. People are winning the union. And we're just going to have to fight harder to through Trump. And we're going to need to, because we're going to have to push back on everything he's going to try to do to stop this. You know, he's learned his lessons from Scott Walker. When you try to bust the union in Wisconsin, you turn it from blue to red. They're going to go after the unions. They're going to go after this movement. And we've got to be ready to fight. And we're prepared to fight. You know, I'd say one thing is, you know, everybody Trump talked about was bringing back the good jobs, you know, manufacturing. And, you know, everybody forgets their history is that those were never good jobs. Steel jobs, coal jobs, all those jobs were jobs just as bad as the airport jobs are now and fast food jobs until people organized them and formed unions. What created the middle class, what made those jobs good jobs, was you know, people forming unions and raising wages. So, you know, we're going to keep reminding people that if you want to actually fix it, create good jobs, there's a good job. There could be a good job on every corner. There's a McDonald's there. You can make a good job. The largest employer in every city, if you look at the airport, is the airport. 10,000 workers and their families at Newark Airport making poverty wages. You can change the economy of Newark by making all those good jobs. So if you want, anybody wants to do something to make good jobs, you know, start with the service jobs, start with 15 in the union. To your question, it's going to be harder under Trump, and we're more determined than ever to fight, and we're going to get through it. And we're going to continue to go forward in that fight.
I'm so glad that you said what you did, Rob, about the issue of a union in reference to the coal jobs and the steel jobs. I mean, people forget exactly what it was like. People lost their lives. They were horrible, ferocious struggles in those jobs. There's nothing about the physical conditions that were not ghastly, but for the fact that people organized and formed a union. And I just want to get back into that component of there's the $15 an hour, and as Isaias would say, and we all would, more than that. But the question also is, the importance and significance and how much you are looking towards and been successful in actually forming unions as a result of these demonstrations.
Sure. I mean, it's been harder to actually form the union than win the wages. Even when people thought 15 was crazy, because people know once people have a union, this actually starts to become permanent, and then you can build off of it. And so, you know, the employers fight back even harder on the union than the money. They'd rather give people the money if they can keep the union out. But in spite of that, we've been successful. Like I said, in the airport, we've been successful organizing thousands of airport workers over the last 4 years, and are continuing to win. Adjunct professors have been successful in organizing, and home care workers and McDonald's workers are finding different ways to form organization. They're fighting one of the largest corporations in the world, but confident they're going to win. So it's a harder fight, but it's a necessary fight if we actually want to take this fight movement and make it into permanent organization to build power. So that's why having the union is critical. It can't just be the money. The money can be taken away if you don't have the powerful organization to keep it. Fast food workers, airport workers, Uber drivers, all coming together.
Fighting for 15 in a union. And in the last 30 seconds, Isaias, what's the best slogan? What should we be fighting for?
For $15 in a union, because when we get a union, we're going to get benefits, and we want to protect our benefits.
And we will make it so, you will make it so, and we will be there working with you and supporting you, as will all our listeners. We've been speaking.
And we now stop to get the $15.
I know you're not going to stop
until
you get the $15 and a union and more. Isaias Safon, a McDonald's worker from Houston, Texas, and Rob Hill, Vice President and Organizing Director of Local 32BJ of SEIU. We will make it so. 15 and a union. Thanks for joining
us. Si se puede.
Si se puede, indeed. Si se puede.
We believe that we will win.
We will. Si se puede.
A nationwide protest is getting underway this morning, and dozens of people in our area are getting in on the action in just a few minutes.
Yeah, CBS North Carolina's Lauren Haviland joins us live from Durham with more on who these protesters are and what they're demanding. Lauren?
Good morning. Protests are just getting underway right now. I want to get straight to them because you can hear how loud their demands are right now. You can see the signs, $15. That is how much they're wanting for their minimum wage. They're also asking for union rights. Protesters, again, just showing up here to the McDonald's. We are in Hillsborough Road in Durham. Bull City, not the only one seeing protesters this morning. They're also planned at this fast food chain and several airports, hospitals, even Uber drivers protesting across the nation today. We're told by organizers this will be their most disruptive protest they've had yet. Dr. Reverend William Barber is expected to show up to this McDonald's at some point later on today. But for millions of these people fighting for a higher minimum wage, they have been able to see more money in their pockets. Today, they are hoping to see their presence makes a difference today. I'm here with one of the organizers and leaders for Fight for 15. His name is Abdul Rashid Burnett. So, Abdul, tell me a little bit about what type of workers are here and what you all are fighting for.
Well, we got fast food workers here, home care workers here, child care workers here. We're fighting for a livable wage, which is $15 an hour, and union rights.
Yeah, that's more than double what the minimum wage is here in North Carolina currently. This started in New York. Why is it important, and why are you guys fighting here in Durham today?
It's so important to us because $15 an hour, it depends on our children. It depends on our children's future. That's why it's so important for us. We fight for our children, let alone ourselves.
Tell me about how difficult it is and why this is a continued fight that you guys haven't been able to overcome quite yet.
It's a very difficult and tragic moment because we fight from paycheck to paycheck. We live from paycheck to paycheck. When we get our paycheck, we have to spend it on our bills just to survive, and we know it's not enough. It's nowhere near enough.
So today, tell me a little bit about what you all are doing here in front of this McDonald's in Durham.
Today, we're standing in front of McDonald's. We're basically sending McDonald's a message. McDonald's is a multi-billionaire corporation. You know, they made X amount of $1 billion in 1 year, and then another X amount of $1 billion in another year. So, you know, we feel as if we get the message to them by the largest being the largest corporation, then the other jobs will feed into them because they're the biggest corporations in the fast food chain.
All right. Thank you so much for talking with me this morning. Again, we are at the McDonald's here on Hillsborough Road in Durham. This is not the only protest here across this nation, but in the Triangle, we are going to expect another protest starting at noon in front of the governor's mansion, and then these protesters will be back out here in Durham starting at 5 o'clock this evening. Live in Durham, Lauren Havlin, CBS North Carolina.
I am here to make a point and to have them understand that we need to be rightfully paid. That a place like O'Hare Airport, a place where there is so much tourism, where there is so much money coming in, and we are doing our best and we're working so hard, we should be rightfully paid and our wages should be better.
Literally, I will come to work just like crying just because I didn't want to be here. You know, it was hard, you know. It's not like bosses here make it easier. They just kind of like, you know, put more pressure on you to get things done. You know, being in an airport, you know, you have here airlines that are making billions of dollars, and yet we're here getting paid minimum. You know, it's sad.
SEIU Local 1 is standing with O'Hare Airport workers as they go on an unfair labor practice strike to protest the retaliation they've been facing from their employer for coming together for $15 in union rights. For over a year now, O'Hare workers have been building their case for union rights and $15 an hour at our nation's second busiest airport. But despite this, their employers have refused to listen to their concerns and have retaliated against them.
Bad treatment, not being able to use the bathroom when we need it, not being able to take breaks, most of all, not being able to make ends meet. But a lot of people having to have two jobs, not see their families, you know? Come on. Why live on welfare? Why live on the system when you have a job, 40-hour job?
These are not good jobs. There are people here working on minimum wage trying to support their families and simply can't do it. $15 an hour is the wage needed to lift families out of poverty and help ensure that they can boost their communities and bring enough home to support their neighborhoods.
And I'm just tired of the simple fact that I'm not able to help provide for myself or my family, and you know, it's been difficult.
A lot of people said, you know, if you want to make a statement, you should do it on Thanksgiving. But you know what? There's a lot of people that don't deserve to lose out on their family, and we're family people, you know? We want to make a statement, but we don't want to hurt everybody. We just want to hurt who needs to listen.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.